The Awesome Toy Show is a premier pop culture event in Mississauga, Ontario, with a unique blend of vendors, artists, cosplay contests, hourly raffle prizes, and live entertainment. They provide an awesome show experience for everyone involved. Their event is also driven with a charitable cause as they partner with the Toronto Community Housing to gather toy donations and directly give back to those in need. Their next show is on Sunday, March 26th at the Small Arms Inspection Building in Mississauga, where there will be a giveaway for WrestleMania Hollywood. Also, their special featured guest that day will be a four-time Emmy Award-winning TV host, Chris Van Fleet. You will be doing an official meet and greet along with a Q&A session for everyone in attendance. In addition to that, they will have special featured guests from Impact Wrestling, current X Division champion Trey Miguel, along with Aiden Prince doing meets and greets as well. You do not want to miss their next show, so go over to www.awesometoyshow.ca and follow their Instagram at The Awesome Toy Show for daily updates leading up to Sunday, March 26th, where we will be in-house SM&E, and it's guaranteed to be...
awesome!
I came to play! There's a price to pay! Time for you to get down on your knees!
Welcome to NXT Talk, the show where we chat about all things NXT, whether it be leveling up or stateside. We're on the road to stand and deliver. We're your hosts. I'm Boris, and I am joined by Matt.
Bonjour. How's everybody doing out there? We hope you're doing well. We hope you watched the World Baseball Classic Final instead of this show. That was way better. Shout out Japan. They brought it home. Otani strikes out Mike Trout to win the chip there. So that was cool. If you did not watch NXT, well, that's what we're here for. Boris and I watched the show. We're going to tell you about it quick. It's not going to be a long podcast. No main event. No level up this week. Just NXT on the road to stand and deliver. So how you doing tonight, big homie?
I'm doing swell. I'm doing beautiful. It's been, honestly, it's been a crazy day. Cannot wait for us to finish this. But just because, like, I just want to sleep. But I'm doing well.
No, I feel you.
I was telling you, right, that today, Tuesday, is my longest day of the week. Tomorrow's not looking too bad. Some things are filling in. Might have to run a few errands later in the evening for someone. But it's all looking groovy. Thursday, quite open. Might see the mother. But then on what day is it? Friday, off to Windsor for a couple days. Back. And then on Sunday, I'm going to be at the Awesome Toy Show with some of the SNME crew. And we're going to be doing our thing there, right? We're going to be chatting. We're going to be, doing what we do best. Whatever it is that we do best, which is a lot of stuff. But yeah, man, it's going. How are you? How's your week?
Awesome. My week is very busy with work and stuff, trying to work in a social life as well. And that's quite hard.
Overrated.
But hopefully seeing some old friends this week at some point. Nice. Life is good, man. But I'm very tired too. Lots to get through this week and lots of sports and wrestling to talk about in the coming weeks. Yes. So we won't talk your ear off too much. Let's just get right into this episode of NXT from March 21st, 2023, the first day of spring, Boris. Spring has sprung.
Oh, it's sprung, all right. It's beautiful. I actually have the window open just to get that nice breeze slash keep me awake.
Nice.
But, Matt, before we get to the show, you know we have one last piece of business to get to, and that is all about the star ratings for this show here. You know, we're done with star ratings. We like having a rating system du jour, something to have fun, you know, and it's just something to keep us going, keep us entertained. So, Matt, what are you thinking for this show?
Well, there's lots of options what we could pick. There's so many qualifiers. I was going to do qualifiers out of five, but that's a little uninspired. We could do something about the hilarious bar segments that we saw, if you'd like. Maybe famous bars, maybe some kind of alcohol-related top five.
Let's do famous bars in Toronto out of five.
Oh, Toronto bars out of five. That's an old favorite. Let's do it.
Gotta come up with the hometown, right?
Absolutely, big homie.
All right, so before we start, man, so like this show was interesting. Like it was a weird mix between wrestling matches. Not all were long, but that just tends to be the theme right now in NXT. You had one banger of a match, which was just insane. Ooh. Which we'll get to, but there was just so much story. Again, credit to where credit is due in NXT. I love the fact that everyone's got something to do, and I feel like almost the entire roster, and let me say this, most of this roster deserves the spots that they're being given at Stand and Deliver, because it just seems like the ultimate catch-all show.
Yeah, so many people are on the Stand and Deliver show, the triple threat tag team matches and five-way matches and four-way matches and this and that. But I agree with that overall point for the most part. We'll touch on a couple people who maybe you can argue.
Yeah, for sure. All right, let's kick things off as the way the show kicked off with highlights from last week's show featuring the Grayson Waller home invasion on Familia Gargano. Matt, add that to the spreadsheet because you weren't here last week.
Yes, that is indeed a crime. Gonna fire that up on NXT so Crimes. Oh, man.
Home invasion, because there was home invasion, there was, there was attacks, there was, like, I'm sure that there's some stalking stuff he can get in there. Are we just going to go with one charge on Grayson Waller from last week?
It's an excellent question. I think we need to consult a lawyer for some of this. But right now, I'm just gonna write the Grayson Waller criminal effect, and we're just going to go from there.
All right, so the show kicks off. Pretty Deadly comes out, and they reannounce that they are the host for Stand and Deliver. Wilson mentioned that last week's show should be scrubbed from the archives since Gallus cheated in their tag team title match and because Hayes and Breaker attacked them when they weren't even paying attention. Wilson then shifts his attention to fashion and said that Breaker and Mello have horrible fashion sense. Trick Williams and Carmelo Hayes come out and they interject in this promo. Williams said that Pretty Deadly should mind their own business. Mello rebutted their fashion sense remark by saying that he is so dripped out, he leaves puddles in the building.
Would not have been my line.
Right? Like, that line can be taken so many different ways.
We're going to let that one slide because Mello's awesome. I feel like that was not the line that I would have chosen.
Right.
I'm not sure who's responsible for that, but that was a miss. That was off the rim.
Yep, it was. Wilson wanted to interrupt, but Williams said that they should mind their own business because the adults are talking. Prince said he doesn't understand Williams' language since they speak the King's English. That could have got off the rails really fast.
we're toeing the line here on this in this promo.
Right?
It was entertaining though.
It really was. Williams is annoyed and challenges Pretty Deadly to a tag team match. Pretty Deadly accept. Trick then tells them. Trick plays the trick. Oh, I got to rewrite that line in my slam report. Hold on, making a note. Trick plays the trick and tells them that they will actually be facing Hayes and Breaker. But Mello didn't seem too thrilled by that. Pretty Deadly jump a confused Mello and Williams. Breaker runs out, cleans house. He gives a military press to Wilson onto Prince, who was on the outside of the ring. Breaker helps Mello back up after.
Ever since Roadblock, Bron Breakker's been awesome. He's just been having a lot of fun and throwing people all over the place. He was doing the same here. I like this opening promo, other than the lines that we kind of already shouted out there. Those were a little weird. Also, I have officially added to the NXT Crimes document, March NXT Crimes, Grayson Waller fucking invading Johnny Gargano's home. I also included Candice LeRae for her acting in that segment.
Oh, well done, sir. Well done. No, won't anyone think of the child?
I really don't want to be that asshole on the internet who's making fun of someone's acting, but I'm doing it. I'm doing that right now. That was terrible. I love Candice LeRae. She is awesome. She's a fantastic professional wrestler. I have said that her versus Io Shirai is the most underrated women's wrestling feud in the history of WWF. That is all true. That was fucking atrocious. It was legitimately embarrassing. What was she doing? More importantly, it's not even really Candice's fault. Why did they have her holding a shoot baby? She couldn't act and also console a shoot child, Boris.
A shoot baby. I love that. All right. Oh, God bless you being back on the show, buddy. Indy Hartwell and Tiffany Stratton were heading to the ring for their match. Back from commercial, Carmelo Hayes says he really didn't like Trick for booking that match with Breakker as his partner. Williams said that it was very strategic so that Melo can learn Breakker's moves in the ring. Williams hypes up Melo and said that he's going to have Breakker's cheat code.
All right, let's do it. I at this point, I just want to see them wrestle, though. I've seen all the accoutrement. Now I just want to see the match.
All right, we got the Roxanne Perez tweet, and it reads like this. I can't thank the at WWNXT Universe enough for all the thoughts and prayers over the past 2 weeks. The outpouring of support fills my heart. I wish I had better news, but the doctors are saying we're no closer to finding out what happened to me at Roadblock. I'm very frustrated, but I will be back stronger than ever, but I just don't know when.
Yeah, it's unseemly and inappropriate to speculate, but I hope she is okay. It seems like it was a non-injury medical issue from what Meltzer and some other people have said on the internet. So again, not here to speculate. Don't really care other than hope she's back healthy and safe soon.
Yep. Let's get to the qualifying match for the NXT Women's Title ladder match at Stand and Deliver, as this was Tiffany Stratton versus Indy Hartwell. Poor Indy. This woman just can't buy a break. But you know what? Here's the thing. Is it a poor Indy thing, or is they trust Indy Hartwell enough to put people like Tiffany Stratton over, give her that ring experience and whatnot? You can see it both ways, right?
You can see it both ways. You definitely can see it both ways. But I mean, we've been saying for 7-8 months that Indy's got to go. She's been 12 months, she's been here too long. So it's just like she has nothing left to do in NXT. If they're not going to push her to a level, I don't know. She's kind of where Roderick Strong was, obviously very different wrestlers, but in kind of a similar position in NXT, you know?
Yeah, agreed. All right, Tiffany Stratton versus Indy Hartwell, pretty short match, pretty fun match. Tiffany Stratton wins this one to no one's surprise. What you think of it?
The triple jump, Tiffany Stratton moonsault. Yes. I think Vic busted out a name for that once, but I forget it. Not important. They'll put it over more, and we will remember it. This was wasn't the best wrestling match. It was pretty bad overall. Short, like you said, but I mean they worked hard. They tried. It was just a NXT developmental women's match. You know, I would say two sneaky D's out of five for this one. Starting it off hot.
Yep. Yeah, that's exactly how I would give it, right? So she wins with the best moonsault ever. That was basically it. Gallus, they're at the pub yet again. The Creed brothers, Julius and Brutus, show up, and they play a game of pool. Mark Coffey makes a joke about the Creeds drinking milk. Brutus said he wants what Gallus has. Julius is drinking water. Gallus wins the pool game, and Julius challenges Gallus to a game of darts. The Creeds win two games of darts, which annoyed both members of Gallus. Brutus makes mention to a shocked Gallus that they practice hard at the dojo so they can play hard outside of it. Gallus then challenges the Creeds to a match at Stand and Deliver for the tag team titles so that they can settle this stalemate. Tony D'Angelo and Stax run into Gallus and Creeds as they're leaving the bar, and they want it in on the tag team title match. So everyone agrees to a sit down at the bar.
So more on this later, because it was established that Julius was not drinking. So anyway, yeah. Just keep that in mind.
Right. Yeah, but you know, peer pressure.
Yeah, I suppose.
All right, the hardest working reporter in all of professional wrestling, Mackenzie Mitchell, is with Gigi Dolan. They're talking about the ladder match at Stand and Deliver for the NXT Women's title. Dolan said that it sucks that Perez had to get injured for this match to happen. And she also mentions that she's not feeling sorry for what happened to JC Jane. If you remember, she injured her shoulder. Tiffany Stratton interrupts, talks about being in the title match, and says that she's going to climb the ladder and win the belt.
Tiffany's developing a pretty fun, annoying, bitchy heel character. She's figuring out her voice in this role. I like Tiffany's promos. She's pretty good. Gigi also.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, finish.
Go ahead. Yeah. I could have finished there. Gigi also.
Oh.
I had more, but that suffices.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, no. About Gigi, it's she feels comfortable in her skin. Right, she feels comfortable in this character. I feel like this is just her at this point, as opposed to her trying to play this mean girl.
100%, man. You can see it. You can visibly, instantly see the difference.
Yep. Wesley is out. He's got a mic, and he says that all he wanted to do was prove that he deserves to be a champion at Stand and Deliver. He mentions that NXT Anonymous leaked that he gets to choose his four opponents for next Saturday's match. Wesley is about to announce who he chooses until Dragon Lee shows up and interrupts him. Dragon Lee said that he came to NXT to fight the best, and Wesley is one of them. Dragon Lee said he is keen on the idea of a multi-person match, and it would be an honor to go up against Wesley. Wesley said that he has followed Dragon Lee's career through North America and Japan, and said that he wants to see him in Los Angeles. Writing this for Slam, the report, which you can read at slamwrestling.net, was a bitch because you had Dragunov, Dragon Lee, Wesley.
So many dragons and Lees. Oh, my.
Yep.
That's hilarious. So one cool thing was when Dragon Lee started to speak in Spanish, some of the crowd like responded and he looked at him like, hey, you know what I'm talking about. All right.
Yeah,
so that was a nice. It's a nice little moment. I like this. I like this promo, and it set up the best match in NXT in months. So good.
Months. Honestly, what was the last great match that we saw? Wesley versus, or was it Axiom? Who was in that match? Wesley, right?
Yeah, and Wesley. Hayes? The only other NXT match. I think this is going to contend for our year end list. The next match that we're about to talk about. The only other NXT match on the list right now is Wesley versus Dijak, the Terminator from the
Vengeance Day
premium live event. Yes, Vengeance Day. That's the one.
All right, JD McDonagh's out. He makes jokes about two Lees. He said that he's going to take care of Dragon Lee after taking care of Ilya Dragunov. Wesley asks him why JD is even out there, and he jokes that Dragunov is going to rip him apart. JD said that Wesley won't even be champion soon, and Ilya Dragunov comes in because it's time for their match.
Yes, heated, intense rivalry, Boris, coming to a head, except not really. There will be more rivalry, yep. It seems. Because I could have sworn a couple weeks ago this was pushed as the final meeting between the two, but it certainly was not that.
Sure. You're right. But we'll see. Before the match even happens, NXT Anonymous was creeping around and taking videos of Indy Hartwell getting all pissed off, tossing around stuff backstage. Zoe Stark shows up and makes fun of Hartwell for losing yet again.
The Indy is mad. She's throwing milk crates around. I could have sworn we've seen this exact... Not just exact character beat, but this exact backstage segment with her throwing shit around because she lost. Like, we've been here before with Indy.
Yep. Fallon Henley confronted Kiana James backstage. James wanted to talk about their title defense at Stand and Deliver against the Witchy women. But Henley wanted to talk about James cheating on Brooks with this Sebastian character. Henley admits to James about breaking into her office. James said that Henley has the wrong idea. Henley yells at James, saying she doesn't want to see Brooks Jensen hurt, and he's a good friend.
So they really made it clear on this episode, contrary to what we were saying in the last few, that actually Kiana is a bad person. Fallon Henley is kind of the good person in all this. That's what, based on Kiana's reaction when Sebastian was actually brought up and she was like, oh no, don't tell him about Sebastian. Like, oh, there is actually smoke behind that fire. They were actually right all along. That's kind of lame.
Yeah.
I they should have done the Sixth Sense twist, man. Kiana James always had a heart of gold, and it was Fallon Henley who was jealous. Sebastian's just like a, I don't know, like a business partner. Maybe she's having dinner with the crab from The Little Mermaid. Yep. Perhaps. Have you ever thought of that, Fallon Henley?
I don't even know why I thought of that. I need to go to sleep. Ilya Dragunov versus J.D. McDonagh. Holy shit, Matt. Okay, that's so...
we both waited for the other to speak. I will take the reins. So I made this point to you, and then I posted it on the Facebook group. But man, Ilya Dragunov, I hate to bring him up, but he's the new Chris Benoit. And what I mean by that is Chris Benoit was the most intense pro wrestler I'd ever seen in my life to that point. And when you watched a Chris Benoit match, you were watching somebody, it was like them fending off a Rottweiler or like a pit bull of some kind. It was just like, this man is going to take the fight to you, though it's fake. He's going to hit you with these strikes and push the pace. And just every second of the match, he's beating the shit out of you the entire time. And there's been some Chris Benoit ripoffs since Benoit. Davey Richards, God bless him, is a Chris Benoit ripoff in more ways than one. Apparently, it might seem. Oof, that was a rough joke. Anyway, Ilya Dragunov is the new Chris Benoit. Every second he is in that ring, he is beating the piss out of his opponent. Every forearm, every slap, every chop, every second of it, he's throwing everything he's got at you.
Look at that. I am right now showing Matt a picture from the NXT Twitter of what Ilya Dragunov looked like after his match. Look at that.
Oh, wow. Yeah, just Dragunov beat up. His chest is red. It looks like he's cut. Same thing with J.D. McDonagh. Boris, save these pictures and post these on the Facebook thread when we post the podcast and on the Twitter machine as well.
Yep, I'm gonna put them here on my desktop.
Amazing. Yeah, those pictures tell the tale of the best wrestling match on free NXT TV in maybe a year or more. There was that really awesome Tyler Bate match that happened quite recently.
Yes.
That was awesome. That was great, great, great stuff. But this was better. I would say this was better. Despite the shitty ending, the match, the action bell to bell was fucking amazing in this match. It was so good.
I don't think I've seen as many punches and chops in a 15-minute match than I have in this match.
WWE, definitely not. They might have set a strike record. Like, if they had the advanced UFC stats for strikes thrown and landed in this match, holy Christ.
Honestly, I don't think the main roster is ready for Gunther versus Ilya Dragunov.
Oof. Oh, man. No, my body is barely ready.
Like, but J.D. McDonagh. And what I really appreciated was the crowd. The crowd really appreciated this match, and they understood how just this classic match that they were getting in front of them. It was so well done. Now let's talk
at one
about
point
this. Go ahead.
At one point when they're doing the big Pure Resu slap fight where they're just slapping each other back and forth in the face, the crowd, like, it was a standing ovation. The crowd stood and cheered and could not believe what they were seeing. This match was incredible. This was a great wrestling match.
We got This Is Awesome, Fight Forever chance. JD hits a power bomb for a two count. He continues his attack and he works a bunch of chain suplexes on Dragunov. Dragunov no sells the last suplex, but JD finally hits one last German suplex. Dragunov with a kick right to the head of JD's temple, but he stumbles in pain and exhaustion. Dragunov comes right back up. He goes for a torpedo Moscow, but JD somehow catches him midair, goes for a rear naked choke. Dragunov fights out of it and hits JD with a sliding forearm. Eventually, both men spill outside of the ring. The two guys end up colliding into Dragon Lee, who's watching from ringside beside the announcer's table. They knock him off his chair. JD gets into Dragon Lee's face, ends up bitch slapping Dragon Lee.
Oh, he hit him hard too. My God.
Yeah. Dragon Lee, JD McDonagh, and Ilya Dragunov all end up brawling outside of the ring. The ref calls for the match to end because of all of the fighting. And then Wesley just flies into the frame, takes everyone out, and the referees and suits are trying to get some order back to the show.
Ah, so lame ending, but they almost had to do it. They set up, at least it sets up a match. It wasn't just a DQ because they didn't want to beat someone. Wasn't just because they chickened out. There was a reason for all of this.
Here's the thing. I, at first, said to you, this ending brings down the match at least one Toronto bar, right? Like, I was not happy. Rewatched the match because I needed to catch up on notes. And the second time I watched it, I'm like, okay, you know what? This is NXT TV. This is just a TV match. The whole point of TV matches, in my mind, is still for you to just catch a taste, right? Just get a little bit. It leaves you wanting more. In this match, want me wanting a lot more. And it actually did a great job of building up the North American title match, in my opinion.
I agree. I absolutely agree. And yeah, the actual bell-to-bell in-ring work was just incredible. Just God, it felt like a fight. It was just modern pro wrestling done beautifully. I love these guys. Both of them are great wrestlers and they have awesome chemistry together. So definitely go watch this match. We're going to go 85%, a full on A in Canada, and it probably will show up on our year end list. It'll be near the end because of the weird ending, but it will be a top 123 of 2023 match. So we're going 4.25 hurricanes out of 5 for this one, Boris.
Good call. All right, Bron Breakker meets Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams backstage. Breakker said that he's wondering if Williams has a trick up his sleeve. Williams said that he just wants Bron to share the ring with the future NXT champion. Hayes said that he wants them both tuned up and at their best for next Saturday.
Yeah, your typical babyface promo here from Bronson.
Yep. All right, the hardest working reporter in all of pro wrestling, Mackenzie Mitchell, is with Wesley. Wesley announced that he's adding Ilya Dragunov and JD McDonagh to the multi-person match at Stand and Deliver April 1st, next Saturday, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 Pacific. Mitchell asked who's gonna take the last spot. Axiom swoops right in, asks Wesley for the last spot. Wesley said that he has tons of people he wants to face, so the last spot's going to be determined in a battle royal.
Yes, and we got a Dabba Kato tease later on in the show. Could you imagine those four brilliant wrestlers and Dabba Kato? That's the five-way.
That's not going to happen. Okay, so realistically, who do you think it's going to be?
It also could be Axiom. I don't know who it's going to be. I kind of think it's going to be a bigger, it might be Von Wagner, dude. Boris, you cannot see this, listener, but Boris just closed his eyes and hung his head in shame. Oh. I think he just quit NXT.
I didn't even think about that unholy choice. Oh my God, though. Here,
Von Hammer?
You beat me. You beat me. You got me.
hopefully, anybody but Wagner. Anyone but Wagner.
I need that. That's going to be the next NXT Talk shirt. Anyone but Wagner. All right. It's time for Big Body Gargano. Johnny Gargano's music plays.
Big Body Johnny.
Yep, Big Body Johnny. His music plays, and we get Javier Bernal dressed in street clothes playing the Gargano part. Javi joked about fooling everyone, then gets into business, blaming Johnny Gargano for stealing his spot at Stand and Deliver. Javi claimed to be the heart and soul of NXT after busting at his ass month after month after month for his entire seven-month career. Javi said Johnny Gargano doesn't even have a Christmas album.
Javier's wacky. He's wacky, but I've grown to like this big body Javi. That whole I've busted my ass here for 7 years, months. Yeah. It just kept going. That was great.
That was good.
He has his moments. This was a weird and kind of bad segment, but he put a smile on my face. It was okay. In the end, it was okay.
It was weird because they tried to make it serious with what happens next, but then the whole Javier Bernal thing being a joke character right now just kind of added a weird flex to it. I don't know. Johnny Gargano comes out, tosses Javi outside, follows him throughout the ringside area, tosses him some more, eventually tosses him over the barricade. This is a very aggressive Johnny Gargano compared to what we're used to. He grabs a mic. He calls out Grayson Waller and says that he wants to raise the stakes at their match at Stand and Deliver. Gargano wants their match to be a Gargano specialty, which is an unsanctioned match. Grayson Waller appears on the big screen and said that Gargano will just embarrass himself. Waller said he can't come to the ring because Gargano is unhinged and said he's only going to sign the contract if Gargano's buddy, Vic Joseph, delivers it next week and if Gargano is banned from the building. Gargano agrees. Big Body Javi stumbles back in the ring, wants some revenge, eats a super kick from Gargano, and Gargano poses to end this segment. So, odds of Vic Joseph getting his ass kicked next week? 101%?
Yeah, that's about right. It seems about right. And that makes sense that Gargano won't be there to save him. Great call. Didn't even see that coming. But yeah, that's absolutely going to happen.
So basically, it was Grayson Waller is just living my dream next week at that point.
The Grayson Waller effect. Yeah, man, it's a weird segment. Like you said, they tried to put like a wacky spin on this hated rivalry. Like, I don't know. It didn't quite land for me, but in the end, it was inoffensive pro wrestling, I suppose.
It forwarded the program. I get that. I much would have not had Javier Bernal on that. I would have just, you know, introduced the next match, but then Johnny Gargano just comes out, no music, just runs out. And they do everything else except just remove Javi from it.
Yeah, you know, like even if Javier came out by himself for his match and then Gargano with no entrance came out, super kicked him and then did this whole thing, that would have been so much better than Javier doing like a Johnny Gargano character. It's just so fake, you know, like it just felt like a WWE Raw segment because of the way it was structured. But whatever.
Speaking of WWE Raw, this next thing, oh my God, I can't even believe I'm even talking about this. We cut to a cinematic promo. We see a man the forest with Native American symbols everywhere. He said he is proud of his heritage and he wants to hold his people up. He then walked over to a DJ turntable, as one would, and starts playing EDM music, as one would. The man was Eddie Thorpe, formerly known as Carl Fredericks.
Yeah, so Eddie Thorpe is an indigenous DJ character spinning beats in the woods. That's interesting. I am cautiously optimistic that Eddie Thorpe will, as an indigenous person, try to steer this bus to a place that is respectful. But Boris, this is the fucking brand that gave us Jacket Time and Saray, the Sailor Moon Power Ranger.
Hold on. Like, whoa. You're only talking of two of the greatest characters in all of NXT history in Jacket Time. Like, calm down there. Tranquilo, Matt. Tranquilo.
Okay. Anyway, like WWE does not have a good track record with racism. As a seriously speaking now, as a Latino fan, man, you fucking know. Oh. You know what I mean?
Buddy. It's crazy how bad WWE is sometimes, right? And that's why I like, honestly, dude, I felt weird even reading these notes because it just felt off for me. Like, I don't know. I hope Eddie Thorpe can, like you said, can steer this in the right direction. The last thing I want to see is him and Oro Mensa become a tag team, but I fear that's where we're going.
Last week I kind of wanted it after watching them on Level Up. It made sense because it seemed like they worked together really well and that could have been a cool tag team, but now it's going down a weird path and I just don't trust WWE to land this plane. But yeah, I have no problem with, like, it's basically a modern take on Tatanka, really.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Hardest working reporter in all of pro wrestling, Mackenzie Mitchell, is with Ivy Nile. Nile asked about Tatum Paxley's betrayal. Nile said she was disappointed because all her and Diamond Mine did was accept her in their group. Nile said she's going to remain positive because she wants to win her next match, which would get her into the women's ladder match at Stand and Deliver.
And then she said, pay them taxes, Tatum Paxes. No, she didn't say that. That's the dumbest thing I've ever said on this podcast. Mm. Let's move on.
Mm.
maybe top 10, maybe.
A sit-down promo aired featuring Hank Walker. We see a replay of Walker getting an NXT contract after beating Javi Bernal. Walker talks about being a lifelong athlete and a starting O-lineman for NC State. Walker talks about getting a job, meeting new friends, and getting a mentor in Drew Gulak. Walker then said that his mentor betrayed him. Walker said all he did for months was try to prove himself to This is how he spelt himself here. H-I-M-E-L.
Him-L?
Him-L. Whoo. Oh, man. Also, this is the episode where Boris loses his voice during the show.
Yeah, we'll keep rocking through it. You don't need to describe this in great detail. Yeah. Hank Walker talks about his journey from becoming, from the offensive lines of NC State to the backstages of NXT and now to an NXT wrestler. Yeah. I like this a lot, man. It was good stuff.
I literally had one more sentence to read.
But how did you spell the words in that sentence?
I don't even know at this point. Oh my god! Now I remember why I love these Tuesday night shows.
Oh lordy!
Qualifying match for the NXT Women's Title ladder match at Stand and Deliver: Lyra Valkyria versus Ivy Nile. Very, very short match and to the point. Lyra Valkyria wins after she hits Nile with a German suplex and spinning cross kick.
It was fine, but they never really got out of first gear. I would like to see them kind of work together more and more. I bet somewhere down the road they could have a pretty good match. But yeah, this wasn't it on this day. We're going to go 2 tiki rooms out of 5 for this one, Boris.
Great bar. Also, 2024 will be the year of Ivy Nile.
Yes, we've said it 2 years in a row now, and we'll say it a third. 2024, the year of Ivy.
After the match, we see Tatum Paxley attacked by the Witch-A sisters, Ivy Dawn and Alba Fire. Kiana James runs in to help her as referees. Suits and Oney Lorcan run in to pull all the women apart. After
Biff! It's Biff Busick, motherfuckers!
You know what's going to suck? Not seeing him bleed with Moxley at this year's show next week.
Yeah, Bloodsport. Yeah, yeah. Biff Busick versus Moxley was one of the best matches of last year. God, that was a war. That was so good.
And I'm pretty sure that was like one of the... That started the streak of Moxley bleeding every... You know that he even bled on the house show?
It doesn't surprise me. It's like Hulk Hogan pointing to the crowd and doing the ear thing at this point.
Okay, after things settled down, James asked Henley to keep her secret, and Henley agreed. I think that's going to backfire, my friend.
I believe you're right. I think you're right on that one, buddy.
What's wrong? Wesley was walking backstage past tons of bunch of people who just want that last spot at Stand and Deliver. Jinder Mahal said he's gonna see Lee at Stand and Deliver. Dijak showed up and said he hasn't forgotten about Lee. After Lee walked past him, he walked into Dabba Kato, who said he was coming after the title.
And it will be Dabba Kato in the match. No, probably not Dabba Kato. I wonder if it's going to be any of these guys that we got the tease, right? We saw Axiom and all the people that you just mentioned kind of be like, well, I'm going to be the one who wins the Battle Royal. So it's probably going to be none of those people.
Because I think Scripps is going to take Axiom out of the out of the running, right? Out of the match.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know. Who hasn't been around that should be around? Cameron Grimes.
That'd be a very big disappointment. Not because I don't love Cameron Grimes, but because he shouldn't be in NXT anymore. Damon Kemp, maybe.
Damon, I can see that possibly, right?
Yeah, like, right.
Okay, so who do we have in the match? We have Wesley, we have JD McDonagh, we have Ilya Dragunov, and Dragon Lee. So we need another heel in the match.
We need another heel, that's for sure. And I think, though, it would make sense to have another athletic small guy. I could see them putting in a guy like a Damon Kemp, someone, a bigger heel with less experience. Hopefully not Von Wagner. Damon Kemp instead.
Yeah, that would be a lot better. All right, the great debate, Chase U and Schism. Can I just jump to the very end?
Yeah, I didn't like this very much. I think we should do quickly. Okay, so Duke cuts it against Rip Fowler. Rip Fowler, he does a normal debate, does his thing, blah, blah, blah. Chase U is good. And then Duke Hudson seems to be like shook, seems to kind of be on Schism's side maybe, and does a terrible job, sits down, and Andre Chase is like, what the fuck was that? Throws the F-bomb out. Then it's Thea Hale versus Ava Rain. Ava Rain does an okay job. Thea Hale, she kills it, gives it the whole big crazy, diatribe.
Scrappy-Doo.
She goes full Scrappy-Doo, sits down and says, in the joke straight out of the movie Old School, I don't know what happened, I just blacked out. Literally the Old School joke, but whatever, that's fine. And then we have Andre Chase. He's set to go up against Joe Gacy, round three of this debate. But who should come out? But Tyler Bate to do his part of the debate. And then, Boris, you can take over from the Tyler Bate part here.
Yep. Tyler Bate went into business. Tyler Bate eventually goes into business, challenges Schism to an 8-person tag team match at Stand and Deliver, where I'm going to call them Chase and Bate go up against the Schism.
That's... Okay, Chase and Bait. That you're not wrong. You're not. It's factually correct.
Or is Bait and Chase better? Which one? Bait and Chase or Chase and Bait?
It's really six of one, half dozen of another, I think, at this point, buddy. But so old Chase and Bait challenging the Schism to an 8-person tag match, but Joe Gacy says no. He says, you know what? We're done with you. We beat you in this debate. We've beaten you all in the ring. We have nothing left to prove with you dingbats. I'm out. And then Duke Hudson says, we'll put up the school. And Joe Gacy stops. We'll put up the school. Huh? So, yes, Boris, we have an 8-person tag team match for custody of Chase University. Big homie.
Yep. Yep, Chase and Bate versus the Schism. Oh, my God, I'm going to use that all the time.
The old Chase and Bate? I suspect you will, buddy. I suspect you will.
The classic Chase and Bate. The Aguilar Chase and Bate. Dude, my voice is going so fast, it's not even funny.
Well, thankfully, we're almost at the main event. We only have one last wacky backstage segment to get to, and that is the aftermath. With Tony D'Angelo, who was drunk, Stax, who was drunk, the Gallus boys, who were drunk, Brutus, who was drunk, and Julius, who apparently was drunk. But it wasn't this man drinking water. Why the fuck was he passed out with the rest of them?
Peer pressure. Or he just took hardcore drugs in the bathroom.
Well, I guess wrestlers do have a history of Percocet use and such. Maybe let's hope he was drinking water and it was just a dumb segment. But in kayfabe, I guess, yeah, in kayfabe, Julius has been peer pressured by these men. That's sad.
Yep. And then everyone agrees to the tag team title match at Stand and Deliver. So we have a triple threat tag team title match at Stand and Deliver now.
You say what you will about Shawn Michaels' wacky booking, but I like stuff like this. I would, honest to God, I'd rather see this kind of booking than Tony Khan's like storytelling. Now, the resulting matches Tony Khan gives us are better usually than Tony D'Angelo and Stax versus Gallus. But that's a roster thing. That's a roster thing. Also, yeah, not always. Not always.
But honestly, you know, like, that's exactly it. I feel the same, right? Like, there's something about NXT that I really, really, really like. I can't put my finger on it.
It's
one too many reasons.
Yeah. not that much, but no, it's a bit of fun. And this main event was a bit of fun.
Okay. The main event, Bron Breakker, Carmelo Hayes with Trick Williams versus Pretty Deadly's Kit Wilson and Elton Prince. Honestly, Trick Williams was hilarious in this match, taking notes as the match is going on. And Matt, I, of course, have the notepad, and this is what we see. So, Bron Breakker notes. Two left feet. What else does it say? Something's got no... Oh, he got no vision. He liked to... What is that? Catch the leg? This guy's strong.
Oh, Trick Williams is hilarious. Oh, man, he's so funny. That's great. I caught him writing notes, but I didn't know he posted his notepad on social media. That's excellent. Yep,
he posted on social media, which is hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. Good match. I like this match. Honestly, Pretty Deadly did great in this match. Pretty Deadly has done a great job of pushing this main event forward the past couple weeks, and I've really enjoyed their work. I kind of like this weird friendship that Bron Breakker and Carmelo Hayes are having. In the middle of the match, at one point, after the hot tag, because the Breakker gets the hot tag, he clears the ring. And I love, after he does his spear, he does this nice, gentle, friendly tag to Carmelo Hayes.
Yeah, exactly. Like, buddy, we're going to fight at Stand and Deliver, not before. Here you go, partner. And there you go. And then he hits nothing but net off the top rope, which is his flying leg slice for the win.
Yep. And that's essentially how we won. Both men caress the title, like, and say sweet little nothings to it. And that's how we end this show.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, that's about it. So, I like you said, I love Pretty Deadly just being punching bags, crash test dummies for these men, making them look good. A fun, but, you know, ultimately not very memorable episode of NXT. But it was fine, and the main event was fine. We will go, I don't know, what's a good bar? We will go 3 say whats out of 5 for us.
That's a great bar. All right, so while I try to get the last little bit of my voice back, dude, it is gone so fast.
Yeah, man, you are donezo.
There was a digital exclusive.
Yeah, let's go. Let's do it.
Oh my God, you're killing me.
Lyra, you just won the qualifier match going to Stand and Deliver. How are you feeling right now in this moment?
I've done it. Lyra Valkyria is going to Stand and Deliver. That's it. This is it. This is what my championship opportunity looks like in NXT. And it takes the form of a ladder match. And it doesn't matter what happens in a ladder match. The ladders always win. But you'll have to have every single ladder, every single opponent in that ring stacked on top of me. And I still won't stay down. No matter what happens, Stand and Deliver, your new NXT Women's Champion. Lyra Valkyria.
Who's writing some of these scripts, my friend?
it's pretty terrible. Pretty terrible. But I don't know. I like Lyra. That is a cheesy wrestling promo if I've ever heard one.
Yeah, it really was. That's up there with Jeff Hardy's fear is a 4-letter word.
Oh man, Jeff Hardy's had some good ones, eh? Remember Imagination?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh man, we gotta do like the best worst promos ever on BAM sometime.
Yeah, that'd be a fun one. Like bad promo of the week or even of the month would be a good gimmick for sure.
All right, I think I gave you enough time. Are you ready with the tres estrellas for this episode of NXT?
I love it. The official tres estrellas brought to us by Corona. The third star, the What is not Trimera? What's the third?
Tercera.
Tercera.
I got that really deep voice going because my voice is almost gone. So it is time for La Tercera Estrella.
Yes, and that is Dragon Lee. He was a star on this show. The crowd was chanting for him, cut a little bit of a promo in Spanish that got over, rarely seen in WWE. I like this a lot. Dragon Lee, our third star of the episode, and more to come from him in NXT.
Time for the Segundo Estrella.
Yes, and we're going to Ireland for this one. JD McDonagh, our second star. Awesome wrestling match against Ilya, and quite good in the promo setting it up.
El primer estrella de este capítulo de NXT is...
You've got to call some Lucha Libre. That's so good. Man, Ilya Dragunov was the first star. Primera Escalada? What was it?
Estrella.
Estrella. Escalara that's stairs. He is not the first stairs. He's the first star. Ilya Dragunov. That's funny. But yes, he was awesome in his match, man. It just really struck me how truly transcendent this Ilya Dragunov is. We're watching somebody on the level of a Chris Benoit in the ring. Honest to God, he is that good and that intense. Not just that good, but that intense. But also that good. Ilya Dragunov, the first star of this episode of NXT.
Yeah, like I said, it was a fun episode of NXT, but it was only the second best sports entertainment thing on TV today because the World Baseball Classic was a classic. And we'll be talking about that on next week's Spam. But before we get to next week's Spam, we have a whole slew of shows to get to, including some more dark reviews. We've got the Old Fucks coming at you with the Dynamite review. We got the Smack Daddies with SmackDown. We're going to have a Rampage Ramble this weekend. We're also making our way to Sunday as Mike McGuire has the flagship show. And then we start the week over. And tons of shows in the middle, like MLW Rewind, like the Godfathers of Podcasting. So freaking much here on the network. And you can get each and every single show if you're a part of the family. And to become part of the family, go to patreon.com/SNME radio.
You did it. You got through it. Well done. Boris needs rest. Your voice needs rest. We'll be back next week with NXT Talk. We'll be back on this network. Boris and I will be this weekend talking baseball from Maine to San Diego. Boris, and talking a lot of other things as well. Good times. Yeah, yeah, yeah.